This is KZSU Stamford. Mystery Playhouse 90.1 will not air today due to technical difficulties with time. Instead, we bring you live entertainment with The Whistler.
And I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
The Whistler's strange story, Gratitude.
Almost done!
Yes, all these years, all these many hours of work, and now they're finally coming to fruition.
Yes, fruition!
When I first presented my theories to the National Academy of Sciences, they laughed. But I was not to be stopped. I continued my work, and when I presented my paper, they laughed and they ridiculed me. But I was not to be deterred. I formulated the very laws of cell tissue regeneration. And then they laughed, ridiculed, and barred me from the very academy I founded.
That's gratitude for you.
Yes, some gratitude for all my years of research and work. But now the hour draws near, and my beautiful creation will prove to the world that I was right. I'm not crazy. Not crazy, I say.
Not crazy.
Now, Basil, lift my creation from the transformer chamber. The incubation period has expired. Now we will see who's crazy!
Crazy! Crazy! Crazy! Crazy! Look! It breathes!
Silence! It's about to speak. Let history record the first words from the product of my genius!
Mystery Playhouse is sponsored by...
Said quote, Mystery Playhouse is sponsored by Comics, Toys, and Games at 405 California Avenue, unquote. We now return you to the music of Raymond Ricello playing for you.
Those creatures know what that means, what anything means. Wait a minute, something's happening.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to continue the broadcast.
Now here's another bulletin from Washington, D.C.
Martial law prevails throughout. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a grave announcement to make.
So that we may confront this destructive adversary.
Everything wiped out. This may be the last broadcast. We'll stay here to the end.
There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling the transmission. We control the volume.
We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass.
Or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's near them.
Or we can make things so slow you don't care.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive. It's our show. We can do anything we want. because this is
Mystery Playhouse 90.1.
One false move and I'll horse whip you with this.
Put me down.
Heckles, you must stop wearing those leather suits.
Shut up, both of you.
Shut up, both of you. Kindly allow me, please. Kindly allow me to announce the highly esteemed Goonshaw. You come in too quick then, Mr. Conductor. Close your eyes. Oh. Get up, man, get up. Stop sulking about that silly little hole in your head. Mr. Greenslade, give us the old chat bell. Come along.
Ladies on. And gentlemen, Le Mange. Presenting the story of
the treasure of Loch Lomond. It was 600 years ago that the Spanish treasure galleon Sanitary sank in Loch Lomond with great treasure aboard.
So much for the clumsy, heavily labored plot. We move now to the clumsy, heavily labored hero.
My name is Neddy M.C. Siegel. My story starts one warm day in London. My business partner had just handed me a vital financial report.
We're skint, mate.
Skint, mate? Well, let's try Leicester Square. They like good music there.
Well, you take the solo this time, mate.
I'm not afraid. Give me your tin hat.
All right.
Keep your eyes open for coppers all and right. Silver.
Pretty tiny fingers, pretty tiny toes.
Tiny toes.
Two ways of facing.
Keep
it a turned up now.
What it looks like. Give it here. It's mine. Here.
It's mine.
Give it back to me. Let go of it.
Let go of it.
Mine. I'm the company director.
I'll bring this up at the next board meeting, mate. You see. After all, it was my mug it fell into, mate.
I don't care. I'm the lead singer. You're always mourning.
No, I'm not. I stop when I'm asleep, don't I? Oh, look out. Here come the Rozzers, mate.
That's giving them the slip. Bolt the door.
Oh, he's coming up the stairs, mate.
Quick, quick. We'd fool him. Slide this window under your wig. There. Now, help me fold up the walls. That's better. Now, get the floor into the sack. He won't find this house here anymore.
Mate, the floor's stuck, mate.
Fool, you're standing on it.
What? Oh, he's at the door, mate.
Honey, let's put the door up in the ceiling when he can't reach it. There.
I say, you two down there, open up in the name of the knee.
It's no good. We're trapped. Put on these master disguises. This lead beard for you. Now, I'll just put this pair of plastic ears around my waist. There. Now he'll never recognize us. Come in.
Neddy Siegel?
Yes.
I'm Norris Toop of Messrs. Neil Pin and Fada, commissioners for old and small bets, please.
You should know.
I've been instructed to inform you that you are next in line for the treasures of Laird Macool. It's a heritage, sir, worth 10,000 pounds.
Oh, well, I'll have to inform the labor exchange.
One point, sir, before you do. You must prove to me that you are of Scottish blood.
Simple. Or chime on. It's a warm, black, moonlit nacht, innit? Robert the Bruce, Partick Thistle 3, Celtic Rangers 0. P.S. Down with England, Von Hoots.
Prove positive, sir. Prove positive.
Needle Noddle McNew.
You can't go a word against the hell. You can't go against the word of a patriot. You must leave for Scotland at once.
But how do I get them on? I've near Cinnamon.
No silver, man. Your dear uncle has provided for the journey. Put these boots on and off you go.
For he'll attack the high road and I'll attack the low road. And I'll be in Scotland for you and my crew have well never been.
dawn the following year, Ned Segun galloped into the great yard of the Castle Magool.
Oh, proud beauty!
You must be wee Neddy.
And you? You must be my uncle Lad Magool.
Come in, lad, you must be cold. You must be cold. Put on this porridge. Come in. Come in and warm yourself by this roaring candle.
Thank you, Uncle. Real regal Scots hospitality. Tell me, MacUncle, why have you brought me to Mac Scotland?
The truth is, Neddy, I've no heirs left.
I'm going a bit thin myself.
There's treasure waiting for you. £10,000. It's yours. You get it when I die.
Only when you die?
Yeah.
How's your health been lately?
Fine, fine, fine. I've one weakness, mind, my chest.
God, it's stuffy in here. I'll open the window.
Oh, you devil! You tried to get rid of me, the new. Now you get or I'll set the hounds on you.
No, I was only joking.
Rover, see him off, boy. Go on.
Okay. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Shut up, you muck idiot. You're not a dog.
Shh, punk me away. All found and free collar.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, I'm going. Whoa. I'm going. But you haven't had the last of me.
Gag! Good work, Rover. Good dog. Now, if you go to the loch and bring up some more of that treasure from the sunken galley.
Okay, and you listen to Max McGilroy.
Oh, Rover, you are...
The Treasure in the Loch, Part McTwo. It's a pristy freezing blue, McSporrans. 3 days they've stood waist deep in this icebound Loch Lomond. What's the idea, eh?
Don't you like fishing, my auntie?
Fishing?
Type O.
We haven't any rods. How do you catch fish like this?
Well, they've got to die sometime. We just wait until then.
You must be off your nuts.
Shh.
Look.
It's a ragged idiot wearing a dog collar.
Quick, dive down and put out the fire. We don't want to be spotted.
Too late. I've already been spotted.
How?
I had measles.
Silence, heavily oiled French joker. Observe yon dog-type man.
What's he dived in for?
You'll see when he sells.
You think he's trapped on the bottom?
No, he would have shouted for help.
See what he's got round his hind leg.
Sapristi! A platinum chandelier with a diamond-studded candelabra.
Yuckaboo!
Pass the telescope. Now hold the jeweler's glass on the end. Sapristi, those diamonds are genuine. After him, money, moolah. Oh, money, money, money. Oh, yo, yo, stop.
Silence, reeking garlic wreck. There's more diamonds where that comes from, at the bottom of the loch.
But neither of us can swim underwater. How do we get down to it?
We'll drain the loch. The question is, how?
Ahoy there, good fishermen! Are they biting today?
Yes, and I've been scratching them all night as well.
Oh, well, I must be on my way. It seems as though I must leave Scotland for aye and take the open road. I've got a great big rock for my pillow and a tuft of grass for my bed. I sleep naked by the roadside. It's a wonder I'm not dead. Walking through the fields of corn, leaning up against the rick of new mown hay. The open road, the open road, the open road for me.
You raving idiot, you.
Thank you. Have you been here long?
300 years.
What are you talking about?
Shut up, shut up. It's the plan. My plan.
You've been here 300 years, eh? They don't give holidays like that anymore. Ah! You're 300 years old!
Yes. Yes, it is a shock, I know. Let me explain. You see, my fast disintegrating friend and I have been keen drinkers of the locked waters. You see, it has a certain mysterious properties that rather prolong the lifespan.
I don't believe this longevity story.
Is that so? See that mountain? That's over 2,000 years old.
Really?
Yes, and it's not fully grown either.
Proof positive. So that's why it's bald.
Yeah.
Well, you can't go against the word of a mountain, can you?
Indeed.
Oh, dear friend, what a lucky break. If I drink this lake water, I'm sure to live longer than my uncle Laird McGool and thereby inherit his treasures.
Is that so? Well, we'll help you, won't we, Moriarty? Give Neddy a glass of the lock water.
Here, 1 shilling. Thank you.
Fiendish friend. Give the gentleman back that halfpenny and the silver paper. This glass of lock water is on the house.
Thank you. Here's health. Ah, marvelous. I'll outlive him.
Of course you will, Neddy. You've put 10 years on your life.
He'd put 10 years on anybody's life.
Here, Neddy, here's another.
Thank you.
Moriarty, this is the Charlie who's going to drink Loch Lomond for us.
Of course. Then that will reveal the treasure at the bottom.
Oh, yo, yo, yo. Money, 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 money. Yo, yo. Ah, lovely. Have another.
And again, Neddy.
Thank you. I am...
More. Is the level of the loch going down?
No. This way it will take years.
Yes, yes. Neddy, lie down.
Good.
Now, put this end of the hose in your mouth.
What?
Moriarty. Put the other end in the lake.
Right.
Now, Neddy, suck away. Good boy. Drink as much as you can. That's it. It's all free.
It's going down. Slowly, Matthew, but it is going down.
Yes.
Oh, Sir Pristy, what bad luck. It's starting to rain.
Drink faster, Neddy, faster. There's a sharabang. There's a sharabang of pensioners arriving. Drink, 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 please drink.
That's it, drink, little waterbag. Quick, plug his ear, it's leaking.
Oh, it's no good, I have to stop. I'm feeling faint.
Faint? Feel faint?
Yes.
Drink this glass of water.
Thanks.
Now, Nanny, on with the drinking. You want to live longer, don't you?
No more tonight. Please, I must get a good night's sleep. I promise I'll come back tomorrow. Needle Noddle McNoo. I'll be staying over in that old red lodge. Good night.
Sapristi, tomorrow's too late. We must have the treasure tonight.
Yes.
Our plane leaves for Amsterdam at dawn.
Let me think. I have it. The water for that old red lodge comes from the lake.
Yes.
Let's go and turn all the taps on and fix them so they can't be turned off.
Right.
Wait. The water for that old red lodge comes from the lake. Let's go and turn all the taps on and fix them so they can't be turned off.
I heard you the first time.
You don't count. I'm only interested in the listeners.
Ray Ellington.
Let's hide.
Yes.
Some girls don't seem to realize why love passes by before their eyes and never seems to stay. So listen now to my advice. Stop your tears, forget your sighs. That's nice. Listen what I have to say. Hold him tight, hold him strong. Tell him a story, sing him a song. But never, 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 never let him go. Love him by day, love him by night, and all the way just say that it's right. It helps, helps to hold him tight. Laugh at his jokes, though they may be old. Tell him he's smart, handsome and bold. Give him affection, say his perfection. Remember patience in every direction. Always be on his side. When it's cloudy, when it's bright, never give up, stick and fight. That's how to keep him and hold him tight. And bold, give him affection, say his perfection. Remember patience in every direction. Always be by his side when it's cloudy and when it's bright. Never give up, stick and fight. That's how to keep him and hold him tight. Hold him tight, hold him tight.
The treasure of Loch Lomond, Park McPhee, the new.
Watch eye.
What's going on in here, Min? You're waking all the people in the lodge.
I can't turn this tap off, Henry.
Give me the hammer. Min?
Yes, Em?
I can't turn it off. I know, I know. I'll hold my saxophone a minute. No. Min? Have you got the monkey wrench?
I gave it back to the monkey.
Oh. We don't wish to know that type joke, Min.
I got it from a very expensive Christmas cracker, buddy.
Oh. We'd better do something. The water's up to my sporran.
Not even.
Call a plumber, Min.
Dear landlord, I heard running water, so I came running down. Good heavens! You're flooded!
We've got a burst pipe.
Which one of you?
Naughty Neddy! Naughty Niddle, Naughty No Neddy. It's the tap.
Ah, I see. Let me try. I didn't study astral navigation in the Isidore Peru for nothing, you know. There. That's got the tap off.
The water's still coming out of the pipe.
What bad luck. Where's the stopcock?
We don't know, Cock.
Oh, look, there's something coming out of the burst pipe. Oh.
Ain't a bleed but a slipper. Thank you, little sausage maker. Thank you.
Who are you?
I'm Mac Blinbuttles, cock of North Finchley. I go through life with a smile and a songe. With a smile and a songe. Life is like... I don't want to... Who'd throw that porcelain type sink at me?
I did. How dare you come through Mr. Crumb's water pipe without knocking?
I'm sorry. It was not my fault, Captain. Do you know that I was swimming in the lake with my first-class swimmer's badge pinned to my water wing when suddenly, Plugy! Up into the nasty water pipe. Then there was hours of darkness and writhing agony. And finally, splunge black. I was squirted out into this bathtub here. But I was not afraid.
Spoken like a man.
Yes, I can do impressions, you know. I have got a message for you. Major Bloodnock says he wants you all to start building him a boat.
Why?
He's drowning in the lake. Aye! Stop clouting me with that sink-type sink. I must not be nutted by strangers.
Wait. If this young cardboard Captain Webb's tale is true, then this pipe is draining the lake of its life-prolonging waters. Shut up!
Shut up!
All this water here must be returned to the lake. Form a bucket chain!
Can I help?
No, I must do this alone. A horse and bucket. Horse and bucket.
They go together like a...
Shut up! Get up, Dobby. Come on, Dobby.
Okay.
Eccles, you're not a horse, you're a dog.
I know, but I do impressions.
All right, get up there. Come on, to the lake, Dobby.
Okay. No, that ain't a horse, no. Little dog. No, I'll get it.
I can't wait. I must save the lake. Out of my way!
So started that epic night of adventure. Back and forth went Seagoon with his bucket trying to return the water. Meantime, back at the lake...
It's going down fast.
Good, won't be long now.
Meantime, back in the bathroom...
It's up to the ceiling.
Swim, men, swim.
Meantime, on the road to the lake... Back in the bathroom.
But, oh, Neddy, the water's going down.
Back at the lake.
Sapristi, the water's going up.
On the road to the lake.
The water's going backwards and forwards.
Meantime, in the middle of the lake.
Help, 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 help.
Back in the bathroom.
We must stop it rising.
Back at the lake.
We must stop it rising.
Meantime, in the steam baths in Edgware Road.
Oh, blimey.
And back in the bathroom.
The water's reached flood level.
Meantime, back in...
What about me?
Meantime, back in the studio, I was about to say, meantime, back at the castle.
You've been good to me, laddie. For the last 18 years, you've been salvaging the treasures of the sunken galleon.
Yeah, for the last 18 years, yeah.
Aye, and now we've got the lot. £20,000.
£20,000? That money must be worth a fortune.
Do you know what it means to us both?
No.
It means that I'm a rich man and you're a far better swimmer.
Meantime, back in the bathroom. Meantime, back in the lake. Back on the road to the lake. Don't some people get discouraged easily? Good night. Thank you. And now, Mr. Adolphus Spriggs with Reuben Croucher at the piano.
I'm walking backwards for Christmas across the Irish Sea. I'm walking backwards for Christmas. It's the only thing for me. I'm walking sideways and walking to the front, but people just look at me and say it's a publicity stunt. I'm walking backwards for Christmas, the poor man I love you.
That was The Goon Show, a BBC recorded program featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Secombe, Spike Milligan, with the Relly Quartet and Max Geldrey. The orchestra was conducted by Bruce Campbell, script by Spike Milligan, announcer Wallace Greenslade, the program produced by Pat Dixon.
Telling me, Count, and it was about one of my favourite countries, a dark, damp, misty place, Scotland.
Oh, Scotland indeed.
You know some of our relatives are from there. Did you know that?
Of course I know
that. Oh, there's Mary, Mary MacBlood. And Janie MacSuka, too,
course,
I do believe.
Oh, love to go there. Don't you think I can count?
Count.
Oh, scariness. But that's nothing compared to what we have up next. The scary Alfred Hitchcock presents Vincent Price.
Two of my favorite creeps.
Indeed. And then coming up after that, part three of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the
Galaxy. Too much scariness.
Too much scariness is good for the soul. And with that, on to Alfred Hitchcock. Take it away, Alfie baby.
Hey, sir. Hey, sir. Hey. Sir, is anything wrong?
My head.
What are you doing?
Give me some answers.
What? Yeah, okay.
Great answers, huh?
What? What, man? What do you want to know? Where am I?
KZSU, Stanford.
Hitchcock present with another tale of murder and imagination that are not necessarily in that order. For the mind is a magnificent thing, capable of imagining unimaginable beauty. For instance, join with me, if you would be so kind, in imagining an early morning sunrise. Or, if you would care for something a little more brotherly, imagine a medieval countryside filled with the people of Camelot united in a common cause. Well, I think you get the general idea. The mind is a truly magnificent thing, but there are exceptions. Here, then, is our sponsor.
Escape is brought to you by Primetime Radio of San Jose. Join KZSU every Thursday night at 10:30 for more classic radio theater with Escape.
Well, without further ado, here's our feature.
Tired of the everyday routine? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all?
We offer you Escape. Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
Tonight, we escape into the mind of a man who has been sentenced to die. A man who attempts to refuse the bitter fate society has imposed upon him. As James Poe tells it in his seething tale of violent death, Present Tense, starring Vincent Price.
Away, and the hills beyond, below the stars, are black and sharp. Dead hills, dark sky. Cold steel below my feet. Cold is the face of the officer at my side. Cold is the cuffs which link my arm to his, which join us on this journey to the prison where I die.
Want a cigarette?
No.
Go on, take one.
No, I don't use them.
Oh.
Has this happened to you before?
What?
Being handcuffed to a murderer. Has it happened to you before?
Sure, plenty of times.
To an axe murderer?
Yeah, there's nothing special, brother. Lots of guys axe their wives. Lots of them.
I could have escaped after it happened, but I didn't, and now it's too late. 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 Ever too late. Never too late. Too late. Too late. Escape. Escape. If the train were to be wrecked, if the detective were to be killed... Late, late, the sweet escape, the light escape, the crash escape.
No, oh no, 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 the darkness, where am I? The cars must have gone down the gully. No lights and those people in pain. This thing fastened to my wrist went halfway through the glass of the door. Keep that. Back from his blood, I don't seem to be hurt. No broken bones. Escape. Now the key in his pocket, his bloody pocket, and the cuffs are off. His gun and the wallet. His face is gone. His own mother wouldn't know him. I'm free. Fire! You are! I must get away. Here. My ring onto his finger. There, that completes it.
Number 63 from Bakersfield, now arriving. Please claim your luggage, Mr. Kerr.
Taxi,
yes,
sir.
Yes. Where to? Up Beverly Glen, above Sunset. I'll show you where.
Thank you. About the big train wreck?
Yes. Understand almost 100 were killed.
Here you are. Keep the change.
Thanks.
My home. It looked so small, so shabby. No one took care of it during the trial. No one cared. No one. No one cares now, but that's good. I like that. I'll be alone, and I won't let the neighbors see me, and I'll sleep and figure out where I go next. The light. Someone's there.
And? The whole thing went so slick.
You'll always be the brain of everything,
Jimmy.
Always.
You bet I will, baby.
No, it can't be. She's dead. I know she's dead.
Want another bottle of beer, honey, huh?
Yeah, sure. It's cold.
It's very cold. But, I'm not.
You said a mouthful there.
Your husband of mine was never able to make me feel like this.
Takes a man, baby.
All he could do was sit around and write those poems all the time.
Well, your friend is so good that even he thought he'd killed you.
What was that?
Mice.
Hey, you're funny, you know that? You're real funny.
Open the kitchen door so quietly and walk softly. Here on the wall by the stove, the cleaver.
Yeah, it's I. Hear something.
Oh, you're nervous, baby. Yeah. Relax just a little bit.
I see them now. It is she. How did they do it? How did they trick me into imagining the murder? I am innocent.
Sweetly. That's what you are, sweetly.
Love him.
The pig in his dirty undershirt. Soft, weak, white neck, fat on his arms. Pig! Grip the cleaver and walk like a feather. He shall be dressed. Soft, white neck.
I... Honest, I hear something.
What's the matter, sweet niece? What's the matter?
Ah! You killed him!
Yes. And now you.
No!
I was innocent. And I thought myself guilty. And now I am truly guilty. And never in my life have I felt so innocent. Like a nightmare, the confession, the conviction, the sentence, and now, once more, dark night, cold steel, the sound of wheels, just as I lived it before. Why, even the cold face of the silent officer at my side, hard, cold face, so much like that other face.
Want a cigarette?
No.
Go on, take one.
No, I don't use them.
Oh.
Has this happened to you before?
What?
Being handcuffed to a murderer. Has it happened to you before?
Well, sure, plenty of times.
To an axe murderer?
Yeah, you're nothing special, brother. Lots of guys ax their wives. Lots of them.
Were you ever cuffed to an axe murderer who killed two people at once?
What are you talking about?
My sin, my crime, what I did, I killed them both.
Slam! Take it easy, brother. You only kill your wife. Just her, just one, that's all.
Some days now, and beyond the barred window, the leaden sky bleeds sorrow on the barren land, the lonely land, the land beyond the prison wall. The sky was blue when first I came here, blue, so blue. And now it has become as the walls of my cell, of all our cells, dark, cheerless cells, these lifeless cells, these cells of men await to die, that wet sky, gray sky, cheerless sky. But it is beautiful. I have 12 hours left of life, 12 hours left to live. Beautiful sky, beautiful, beautiful, wet and fresh and alive. Oh, rather would I spend eternity at a well's bottom with one patch of that to gaze upon than leave this life, than leave this earth, than leave this sky. But leave it I must. The guard told me no man has ever escaped San Quentin's death row. Blocks and bars, guards and guns lie between me and the world beyond. No escape, not from here. But wouldn't it be nobler to gamble my life in bold attempt and lay it down in reckless resignation, eh? So, now to get out of this super guarded area.
Oh! Oh, God! God!
Hey, hey, fight that. Cut it out.
Oh. What's wrong? What's the matter with you?
My gut! Here! It's killing me!
Your gut, huh? Well, I'll call a medic. Now, as I press you, tell me where it hurts.
Everywhere in hell. Oh, all over down here. There! Oh, don't touch that place again!
Call the ambulance.
Right.
Man's got appendicitis.
Oh, do something.
Well, what do I do? Why didn't they send somebody with you?
The interns are all tied up. They're giving shots today.
Well, he's acting kind of crazy. Let's get him over to the hospital block. In a hurry.
I can't drive any faster. My windshield steamed up.
Oh, wipe it.
You got a rag?
Yeah, here. You could use my handkerchief.
Okay, pal. Give him the handkerchief.
Oh, my God! What
the... Keep right on driving through the gate, or the top of your head comes off.
You won't get away with this!
I will. I'm betting my life that I will.
How far back is the prison?
About 15 miles. At least that.
Okay, pull over. I'm taking her from here. And you two. I want your money, your clothes. Then you can walk back and explain about me.
Explain about him.
They won't find the ambulance for days. Not at the bottom of that canyon. Now I cross the border on foot and into Mexico.
You drink, senor.
Oh, thank you. When does the next bus leave for Mexico City?
At 12 o'clock, senor.
A little card, bought in a back room with no questions asked, and I become a tourist. 4 days' growth of beard, and I become poor. An empty suitcase with a butterfly net strapped to its outside, and I become a source of amusement. A funny, dumb gringo. And who looks with suspicion on the funny, dumb gringo tourist who is poor? Mexico City is beautiful, but not when you are hungry. Not when you are an American who is hungry. Americans aren't supposed to be hungry. What can I do? All I know is writing, the writing of poetry. There is one place I might sell some poems. Pollen. His magazine prints some English stuff. Perhaps... Well, why not? I have 3 pesos left. Buy some paper, a pencil, sit in the park, write, and storm the bastion.
Huh? Yeah? Yeah, that is good here.
Do you like them, Mr. Pollen?
Well, excuse me. Lucida... I have some poems here.
Oh, let me see. The river doubles, dreaming dropples. That's the passion of my soul. Ah, muy bueno.
Yeah, that is just what I thought.
You are too kind.
The poet should read his own work.
That drips sweet droplets, passion's goblets.
Lucita likes your stuff.
A rare woman.
And I like what Lucita likes.
Aha.
She says we do a book of your stuff.
Oh?
So here's an advance.
Too much.
Take it.
When the book?
Got it.
Right.
Got the poem?
I'll get them.
Your name is?
Miss.
No good to dull.
So true.
I'll make a new one.
Please do.
And so?
Good day, and I'll be back.
Saturday.
With the poem. Yellow and red. My home, my native land. My advance money went for new clothing and a round-trip plane ticket to Los Angeles and my new lease on life. In a small file under the eaves of the little house in Beverly Glen, there are poems, more than 1,000 of them, poems which no one has ever seen, poems written in the evenings after work on Sundays. And now, with the beard and the hat and the glasses, no one will recognize me. A cane. I ought to carry a cane, too. Get the poem. Does someone live there in the house? Has someone bought it? No matter. Get the poems and then get back to Mexico City. Someone is living here. I wonder who. The hedge is trimmed. And my hammock. Someone's put on a new canvas cover.
Get yourself, baby,
I'm
shaving.
Oh, all right.
Yeah?
Oh, no, it can't be.
Well, what do you want?
Her face, it's Mary, but I thought I killed her.
Who is it, baby?
Well, what is it, mister? What do you want here?
Are you the lady at the house?
Who shut at the door?
Some creep with a beard. Yeah, I'm the lady of the house, but I don't want to buy anything.
Well, what is it, Santa Claus? What do you want?
Are you the man of the house?
Yeah, I'm the man of the house. That's sweet, me.
I'll say.
So what of it?
I'm making a survey. I'd like to ask a few questions. May I come in?
Well, I don't know.
Let him. What's the difference?
Thank you. First, your name.
Name?
Yes, please.
Fred Sneed.
Hey, where's he going? Mister, what do you want in my kitchen?
The cleaver, Mary. Don't you know me?
Mary. Hey, who are you, mister?
Look close, Mary.
The cleaver. Put it down.
Know me? Know the man you tricked into San Quentin?
No, don't. Put down that...
You killed him!
Yes, Mary. Yes.
No!
Confession, conviction, sentence, transportation, and, again, the death cell as before. But when I came here, they promised I could keep the beard. They promised I could keep the beard. And it's gone. Gone. I can't remember when. What's that? Who's coming next?
Ready?
Ready.
It's time to go, my son.
Time to go.
You've refused my help up to now. But perhaps you'd like to walk with me.
Rather beside you, Padre, than beside one of these mercenaries. My legs, the muscles quiver, not with fear, no, but with the desire to feel themselves moving, straining, acting. While yet there is time, I'm not afraid, but this body, I hate the thought of its being killed by these men. My beautiful body, soon it will be dead, cold, rotting, dead. It will rot. No, they must not do this to me.
You must be brave, my son.
My body. Years I spent with the great corporeal master, the yogi, learning my bodily purpose, my bodily care, the use of willpower to control my body. The yogi... My teacher, yes. I shall use yoga. Suspend my breathing and become invulnerable to their gas. Suspend my body functions to the point of death and fool their doctor, of course. Oh, yes, the greatest escape of them all. And this time I must succeed.
All right, here we are.
The room is... Somehow I had imagined it would be larger. And here is the chair. Yes, strap. Hood.
All right, now just sit down.
And over there, the glass.
Take it easy.
Small pane with the dark faces seen dimly through. The witnesses.
Lay your arms along these.
The whole room is like some strange sort of time machine. Yeah. Machine for launching a man... into another dimension.
Relax.
So true.
Yeah.
I'd best begin to prepare myself.
Relax.
Relax. Must relax. It won't be easy.
Have you any last words, my son?
Yes, one request. Do not allow my poor body to be dissected or embalmed, but on the third day after my death, cremate it.
That will be arranged as you desire.
Thank you.
God be with you, my son. Remember what Christ said to the two criminals. In this day shalt thou be with me in heaven.
Now move your head forward a little. Only put the hood down. There. Now when you hear the pellets drop into the acid, don't try any tricks. Just breathe deeply, see? Fumes don't hurt, see? You just cooperate with us. Make it easy on yourself, pal. You know what I mean?
Dark here under the hood. Now, the last breath, as the yogi taught me. And the lungs hold it. Body limp, all muscles, tendons, joints. Relax, all slow the bloodstream, lock the breath. Hold, hold. Slow, slow. Hold. Suspend all bodily functions. Hold. Fix the eye in suspended animation. Gently fix the mind on time. Ease the beating of my heart. Time as a picture on the screen of my mind. Slower. Slower. My perception is slower. The time seems to spin by now. Go slow, my heart. The ventilators go on, clearing the air of the poisonous fumes. Now the doctor will come with his stethoscope. I will my limbs to stiffness, my flesh to coldness.
All right, it's clear, doctor. You can go on in. Let's see now. Respiration ceased. Heart stopped. By the authority vested in me by the state of California, I pronounce this man dead.
I will myself to consciousness in 6 hours' time. Up and see. Oh, the prison morgue. It worked. But I'm cold, so cold. What's this on my toe? A tag. Too dark to read it, but I know what it says. It has my name, prison number, time of execution, yes. And now to look around, because the next step must be played just right. And this should be it. A coffin crate ready for shipping. Some cadaver being returned to a sentimental family. Well, that ought to be just right. And with him on my slab, my tag on his toe, and the most perfect escape of all time underway, here we go. I will my body to return from its state of suspended animation and to come immediately out of trance, when next this coffin shall be opened. Hello, old man. Funeral parlor. Poor fellow. Must have a bad heart. Let's see. No, it's going. Well, let's hope he's out for a while. It must be the workroom. Light hanging over the work table and... yeah, locker. Oh, with a suit.
spine. And here in the desk, might there not be some sort of... Yes, here, a petty cash box. It's quite full. The old boy apparently doesn't believe in banks. And now that Lazarus has returned from the dead, this newspaper, Dateline, I was executed 4 days ago. Now I find myself resurrected in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Los Angeles, California. This is Los Angeles. You can claim your baggage in the station or on the platform.
I return to my home. A beautiful time to return home. My old hammock is there, and my flowers, my yard. The house is empty. The lawyer said he had it cleaned up. My books, my pictures. Here's my old pipe. I haven't smoked it in years. Mary didn't like it. But now she's gone. I don't hate her anymore. Tobacco's still fairly fresh. Fill the pipe. There's that detective story I never got to finish. Now I'll have time. Now I'll have lots of time. Time to smoke and read and write and rest. Sun's almost down. Twilight. Wonderful time to get outside. Cool, sweet air. Wonder what kind of birds those are. My hammock. Oh, it's so nice. Like the pipe. And relax. Wish I could remember what page I was on, but no matter. I can begin again. I've got all the time in the world. The rest of my life. Birds. The sun is slipping out of sight. Death of the sun. I read the sky. How soft those clouds. So lovely, so lovely. What's that? Birds playing in the fish pond. Look at them. Happy birds. They're hissing. The neighbor is turning on his lawn sprinkling system. Lie here and smell the cool air. Evening coming on. Sky grows darker. Lie in the gathering twilight. Death of the day, birth of the night. Sweet softness of the summer night coming. Soon the stars. Oh, it's lovely, heavenly.
By the authority vested in me by the state of California, I pronounce this man dead.
Well, well, well. And just when we were having fun, someone had to drop the trap door out from underneath us. But isn't that what life is all about? A long introduction to a well-known climax. Or so I prefer to think so. After all, aren't we but poor players who strut and fret our hour upon the stage, or half hour as the case may be, and then is heard no more until next week. Till then, however, this is Alfred Hitchcock present telling you to continue to imagine the unimaginable. I can assure you, your dreams can come true. Thank you.
Welcome to part 3 of a 4-chapter series of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. But first, let us review the main events of parts 1 and 2, starting way back in the days when Earth existed, and Arthur Dent had no idea that his best friend, Ford Prefect, was not of this planet.
I have got to tell you the most important thing you've ever heard. I've got to tell you now, and I've got to tell you in that pub there.
Why?
Because you're going to need a very stiff drink. How long have we known each other?
5 years, maybe 6. Most of it seemed to make some kind of sense at the time.
All right. How would you react if I said that I'm not from Guildford after all, but from a small planet somewhere in the vicinity of Betelgeuse?
I don't know. Why, do you think it's the sort of thing you feel you're likely to say?
Drink up. The world's about to end.
People of Earth, your attention, please. This is Prosthetnik von Jax of the Galactic Hyperspace Planning Council. As you will no doubt be aware, the plans for the development of the outlying regions of the western spiral arm of the galaxy require the building of a hyperspace express route through your star system, and regrettably, your planet is one of those scheduled for demolition. The process will take slightly less than 2 of your Earth minutes. Thank you very much. Energize the demolition means.
If I asked where the hell we were, would I regret it?
We're safe.
Oh, good.
We're in a small galley cabin in one of the spaceships of the Vogon Constructor Fleet.
This is obviously some strange usage of the word safe that I wasn't previously aware of.
Here, have a look at this.
What is it?
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's a sort of electronic book. It'll tell you everything you want to know. That's its job.
I like the cover. Don't panic. It's the first helpful or intelligible thing anybody's said to me all day.
That's why it sells so well. I'm researching the new edition. That's my job. Fun, isn't it?
It's amazing.
Unfortunately, I got stuck on the Earth for rather longer than I intended. I came for a week and was stranded for 15 years.
We picked them up during a crucial 30-second period.
I've got a note of that factor here.
So have I.
Put it all together.
And we have a total improbability factor of exactly...
Well, it's pretty vast, but it's not infinite. At what point did we pick them up?
Infinite improbability level.
Yeah. I got a bad feeling about one big whack of improbability still to be accounted for.
Glad we're service.
I suppose you'll want to see the aliens now. Do you want me to sit in a corner and rust, or just fall apart where I'm standing?
Show them in, please, Marvin.
I'm not staying in the same room with that robot.
Ford, hi, how are you? Glad you could drop in.
Zaphod, great to see you. You're looking well. The extra arm suits you. Nice ship you've stolen.
You mean you know this guy?
Know him? He's... Oh, Zaphod. This is a friend of mine, Arthur Dent. I saved him when his planet blew up.
Oh, sure. Hi, Arthur. Glad you could make it.
And Arthur, this is my...
We've met.
What?
Oh, have we,
What do you mean, you've met? This is Zaphod Beeblebrox from Betelgeuse 5, you know, not bloody Martin Smith from Croydon.
I don't care. We've met, haven't we, Zaphod? Or should I say... Phil.
What?
You'll have to remind me. I have a terrible memory for species. Hey, Ford. It was at a party 6 months ago. I rather doubt that. On Earth. England. Look. London. Islington. Oh, that party.
Zaphod, you don't mean to say you've been on that miserable little planet as well, do you?
No, of course not. Well, I may just have dropped in briefly. On my way somewhere. He gatecrashed this fancy dress party, barged up to the girl I was talking to and said, "Hey doll, is this guy boring you? Why don't you talk to me instead? I'm from a different planet."
Zaphod?
Yes, he only had the two arms and he called himself Phil, but there was
absolutely... But you have to admit he did turn out to be from another planet.
What? Good God! It's her, Tricia McMillan.
Improbability sum now complete. And for my next trick,
I... Oh, shut up, will you?
Just trying to create a pleasant social atmosphere.
What on earth are you doing here?
Same as you. I hitched a lift. After all, with a degree in maths and another in astrophysics, it was either that or the dole queue again on Monday, wasn't it? Anyway, hi. Nice to see you again.
But this is all impossible.
No, just very, very improbable.
Oh, God. Ford, this is Trillian. Hi. Trillian, this is my semi-cousin Ford, who shares three of the same mothers as me. Hi. Trillian, is this sort of thing going to happen every time we use the infinite improbability drive?
Very probably, I'm afraid.
Zaphod Beeblebrox, this is a very large drink.
Hi there, this is Eddie, your shipboard computer, and I just want to mention here that we are now moving into orbit around the legendary planet of Magrathea. Sorry to interrupt your social evening. Have a good time.
And now, episode 3 of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Back in the mists of ancient time, in the great and glorious days of the former Galactic Empire, life was wild, rich, and on the whole tax-free. Mighty starships plied their way between exotic suns, seeking adventure and reward amongst the furthest reaches of galactic space. In those days, men were real men, women were real women, and small furry creatures from Alpha Centauri were real small furry creatures from Alpha Centauri. And all dared to brave unknown terrors, to do mighty deeds, to boldly split infinitives that no man had split before. And thus was the Empire forged. Many men, of course, became extremely rich. But this was perfectly natural and nothing to be ashamed of, because no one was really poor, at least no one worth speaking of. And for these extremely rich merchants, life eventually became rather dull, and it seemed that none of the worlds they settled on was entirely satisfactory. Either the climate wasn't quite right in the later part of the afternoon, or the day was half an hour too long, or the sea was just the wrong shade of pink. And thus were created the conditions for a staggering new form of industry, custom-made luxury planet building. The home of this industry was the planet Magrathea, where vast hyperspatial engineering works were constructed to suck matter through white holes in space and form it into dream planets, lovingly made to meet the exacting standards that the galaxy's richest men had naturally come to expect. And so successful was this venture that very soon Magrathea itself soon became the richest planet of all time, and the rest of the galaxy was reduced to abject poverty. And so the system broke down. The Empire collapsed, and a long, sullen silence settled over the galaxy, disturbed only by the pen scratchings of scholars as they labored into the night over smug little treatises on the value of a planned political economy. Magrathea itself disappeared, and its memory soon passed into the obscurity of legend. In these enlightened days, of course, no one believes a word of it.
I'm sorry, Zaphod, I just don't believe a word of it.
Listen to me, Ford, I've found it. I swear I've found it.
Look, Magrathea is a myth, a fairy story. It's what parents tell their kids about at night if they want them to grow up to become economists, and...
And we are currently in orbit around it.
Zaphod, I can't help what you may personally be in orbit around, but this ship...
Computer...
Oh, no.
Hi there, this is Eddie, your shipboard computer, and I'm feeling just great, guys. And I know I'm just going to get a bundle of kicks out of any program you care to run through me.
Is this necessary?
Computer, tell us again what our current trajectory is.
A real pleasure, fella. We are currently in orbit at an altitude of 300 miles... around the legendary planet of Magrathea. Golly!
Proving nothing. I wouldn't trust that computer to speak my weight.
I can do that for you, sure.
No, thank you.
I can even work out your personality problems to 10 decimal places if it'll help.
Zaphod, we should have dawn coming up at any minute now on the planet, whatever it turns out to be.
Okay. Let's just take a look at it. Computer?
Hi there, what can I do for you?
Just shut up and give us external vision on the monitors.
Yes, Arthur.
I feel like I'm missing the point of something.
Well, it's just that Magrathea is supposed to be this legendary planet from way back, which no one seriously believes in. A bit like Atlantis, really. Except that the legends say the Magratheans used to manufacture planets.
No, I'm sorry, Zaphod. It looks very pretty on the screen, but I refuse to believe it's Magrathea.
The suspense is killing me. Is there any tea on this spaceship?
Stress and nervous tension are now serious social problems in all parts of the galaxy. And it is in order that this situation should not be exacerbated that the following facts will now be revealed in advance.
The planet in question is, in fact, Magrathea. The deadly missile attack shortly to be launched by an ancient and automatic defense system will merely result in the bruising of someone's upper arm and the untimely creation and sudden demise of an innocent sperm whale and a bowl of petunias. In order that some sense of mystery should still be preserved, no revelation will yet be made concerning whose upper arm has been bruised. This fact may safely be made the subject of suspense, since it is of no significance whatsoever. None of this, of course, is known to the crew of the starship Heart of Gold.
Well, even supposing it is Magrathea.
It is.
Which it isn't. What do you want with it anyway?
Oh, the usual. Fame, money, you know.
But it just looks like a dead planet.
Greetings, sir.
Computer?
Hi there.
What is it?
Oh, just some 5 million-year-old tape recording that's being broadcast at us.
This is a recorded announcement, as I'm afraid we're all out at the moment. The Commercial Council of Magrathea thanks you for your esteemed visit.
Magrathea,
okay. But regrets that the entire planet is temporarily closed for business. Thank you. If you would like to leave your name and the address of the planet where you can be contacted, kindly speak when you hear the tone.
They want to get rid of us. What do we do?
It's just a recording. Keep going. Got that computer?
I got it.
Business is resumed. Announcements will be made in all fashionable magazines and color supplements, and clients will once again be able to select from all that's best in contemporary geography. Meanwhile, we thank our clients for their kind interest and would ask them to leave now.
Well, I suppose we'd better be going.
Shh! There's absolutely nothing to be worried about.
Then why is everyone so tense?
They're just interested. We keep going.
It is most gratifying that your enthusiasm for our planet continues unabated, and so we would like to assure you that the guided missiles currently converging with your ship are part of a special service we extend to all of our most enthusiastic clients, and the fully armed nuclear warheads are, of course, merely a courtesy detail. We look forward to your custom in future lives. Thank you.
If that's their sales pitch, what must it be like in the complaints department?
Hey, this is terrific! It means we really must be onto something if they're trying to kill us.
Terrific!
You mean there is someone down there after all?
No, the whole defense system must be automatic, but the question is why?
What are we going to do?
Just keep cool.
Is that all?
No, we're also going to take evasive action. Computer, what evasive action can we take?
None, I'm afraid, guys.
Or something.
There seems to be something jamming my guidance systems. Impact minus 40 seconds. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Please call me Eddie if it'll help you relax.
Right. Look, we've got to get manual control of this ship.
Can you fly her?
No, can you?
No.
Forward?
No.
Fine, we'll do it together.
I can't either.
Yeah, I'd guess that. Computer, I want a full manual control now.
You got it. Good luck, guys. Impact minus 30 seconds.
Okay, forward. Full retro thrust and 10 degrees starboard.
You're veering too fast.
Can't hold her. She's going into a spin.
Die.
It is, of course, more or less at this point that one of our heroes sustains a slight bruise to the upper arm. This should be emphasized because, as has already been revealed, they escape otherwise completely unharmed, and the deadly nuclear missiles do not eventually hit the ship. Our hero's safety is absolutely assured.
Impact minus 25 seconds, guys!
The rockets are still homing in. You can't shake them. We're going to die.
When you walk through...
Shut that bloody computer up!
Why doesn't anyone turn on those improbability drive things?
Don't be silly. You can't do that.
Why not? There's nothing to lose at this stage.
Does anyone know why Arthur can't turn on the improbability drive?
Minus 5 seconds has been
great
for you guys. God bless you.
I said, does anyone...
What the hell happened?
Well, I was just saying, there's this improbability drive switch here, you see, and I just...
Where are we, Trillian?
Exactly where we were, I think.
Then what happened to the missiles?
Well, according to this screen, they've just turned into a bowl of petunias and a very surprised-looking whale.
At an improbability factor of 8,767,128 to 1 against...
Did you think of that, Earthman?
Well, all I did was...
That's very good thinking, you know, that you just saved our lives.
Oh, it was nothing, really.
Oh, was it? Oh, well, forget it, then. Okay, computer, take us into land.
Well, I say it was nothing. I mean, obviously, it was something. I was just trying to say it's not worth making too much of a fuss about. I mean, just saving everybody's life.
Another thing that no one made too much fuss about was the fact that against all probability, a sperm whale had suddenly been called into existence some miles above the surface of an alien planet. And since this is not a naturally tenable position for a whale, this innocent creature had very little time to come to terms with its identity as a whale before it had to come to terms with suddenly not being a whale anymore. This is what it thought as it fell.
Ah, what's happening? Excuse me, who am I? Hello? Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? What do I mean by who am I?
Now calm down, get a grip now. Oh, this is an interesting sensation. What is it? It's a sort of yawning, tingling sensation in my... Well, I suppose I better start finding names for things if I want to make any headway in what, for the sake of what I shall call an argument, I shall call the world. So, let's call it my... stomach! So, a yawning, tingling sensation in my stomach. Good. Whoa, it's getting quite strong. And hey, what about this whistling, roaring sound going past what I'm suddenly going to call my head? That can be wind. Is that a good name? Well, it'll do. Perhaps I can find a better name for it later when I find out what it's for, because there certainly seems to be a hell of a lot of it. Hey, what's this thing? Let's call it, tail. Yeah, tail. Hey, I can really thrash it about pretty good, can't I? Wow! Wow! Hey! Doesn't seem to achieve much, but I'll probably find out what it's for later on. Now, have I built up any coherent picture of things yet? No. Oh, well, hey, this is really exciting. So much to find out about, so much to look forward to. I'm quite dizzy with anticipation. Or is it the wind? Hey, there really is a lot of that now, isn't there? And wow, what's this thing coming towards me very fast? Very, very fast. So big and flat and wide. It needs a big, wide serpent sort of word like round. Ground! That's it! Ground! I wonder if it can be friends with me.
Curiously enough, the only thing that went through the mind of the bowl of petunias as it fell was, oh no, not again. Many people have speculated that if we knew exactly why the bowl of petunias had thought that, we would know a lot more about the nature of the universe than we do now. Similarly, a lot of people might have found life a great deal less puzzling if it had been generally realized that human beings were only the third most intelligent life forms on the planet Earth, instead of, as was generally thought by most independent observers, the second. The significance of this fact will become clear to Arthur Dent some 4 hours and 37 minutes after the starship has landed on the planet Magrathea, or 4 hours and 32 minutes after Trillian says, "Are we taking this robot?"
Are we taking this robot?
Don't feel you have to take any notice of me, please.
Oh, Marvin, the paranoid android. Yeah, we'll take him. How you doing, Metal Man?
Oh, fine.
Good.
If you happen to like being me, which personally I don't.
Terrific. Okay, everybody, let's go.
Good afternoon, boys.
What's that?
Oh, that's just the computer. I discovered it had an emergency backup personality, so I plugged it in. Can't be worse, can it?
Now, this is going to be your first day on a strange planet, so I want you all wrapped up snug and warm and no playing with any naughty bug-eyed monsters.
Can't be worse.
I think we'd be better off with a slide rule.
Right, who said that?
Will you open up this exit hatch, please, computer?
Not until whoever said that opens up.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Computer.
I'm waiting. I can wait all day if necessary.
Hey, computer. If you don't open that exit hatch pretty damn pronto, I might find a very large axe to reprogram you with, okay?
I can see this relationship as something we're all going to have to work at.
Thank you.
dark, dreary, and spattered with whale meat.
Hey, from this ridge you can see the remains of an ancient city.
What's it like?
Well, it's a bit of a dump.
Ford, do you realize that robot can hum like Pink Floyd?
But, hey, but I found what I was after. A passageway leading down into the interior of the planet.
Yeah?
And that's where we have to go. Where no organic life form has trod these 5 million years. Into the very depths of time itself. Can it, Marvin?
Well, come on, if we're going.
Right. Hey, Earthman.
Arthur.
Could you sort of keep the robot with you and guard this end of the passageway, okay?
Guard? What from? You just said there's no one here.
Yeah, well, just for safety, okay?
Whose? Yours or mine?
Good lad. Okay, here we go.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Well, I hope you all have a really miserable time.
Don't worry, they will.
Why don't you flip through the book whilst you're waiting?
What book?
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, that thing.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is a very unevenly edited book and contains many passages which simply seemed to its editors like a good idea at the time. One of these supposedly relates the experiences of one Vit Vujagig, a quiet young student at the University of Maximegalon who pursued a brilliant academic career studying ancient philology, transformational ethics, and the wave harmonic theory of historical perception. And then, after a night of drinking pan-galactic gargle blasters with Zaphod Beeblebrox, became increasingly obsessed with the problem of what had happened to all the biros he'd bought over the past few years. There followed a long period of painstaking research, during which he visited all the major centers of biro loss throughout the galaxy, and eventually came up with a quaint little theory which quite caught the public imagination at the time. Somewhere in the cosmos, he said, along with all the planets inhabited by humanoids, reptiloids, fishoids, walking treoids, and super-intelligent shades of the color blue, there was also a planet entirely given over to biro life forms. And it was to this planet that unattended biros would make their way, slipping quietly through wormholes in space, to a world where they knew they could enjoy a uniquely biroid lifestyle, responding to highly biro-orientated stimuli, in fact, leading the biro-equivalent of the good life. And as theories go, this was all very fine and pleasant, until Vit Vujagig suddenly claimed to have found this planet, and to have worked there for a while driving a limousine for a family of cheap green retractables. Whereupon he was taken away, locked up, wrote a book, and was finally sent into tax exile, which is the usual fate reserved for those who are determined to make a fool of themselves in public. When one day an expedition was sent to the spatial coordinates that Vujagig had claimed for this planet, they discovered only a small asteroid inhabited by a solitary old man who claimed repeatedly that nothing was true, though he was later discovered to be lying. There did, however, remain the question both of the mysterious 60,000 Altairian dollars paid yearly into his bank account and, of course, of Zaphod Beeblebrox's highly profitable second-hand biro business. Meanwhile, on the surface of Magrathea...
Night's falling. Look, robot, the stars are coming out.
I know. Wretched, isn't it?
But that sunset, I've never seen anything like it in my wildest dreams. The two suns, it was like mountains of fire boiling into space.
I've seen it, it's rubbish.
We only ever had the one sun at home. I came from a planet called Earth, you know.
I know, you keep going on about it, it sounds awful.
Oh no, it was a beautiful place.
Did it have oceans?
Oh yes. Great, wide, rolling blue oceans.
Can't bear oceans.
Tell me, do you get on well with other robots?
Hate them. Where are you going?
I think I'll just take a short walk.
Don't blame you.
Good evening. Do you choose a cold night to visit our dead planet? My name is not important. Do not be alarmed. I will not harm you.
But you shot the missile.
Merely an automatic system. Ancient computers, ranged in the long caves deep in the bowels of the planet, tick away the dark millennia. I think they take the occasional pot shot to relieve the monotony. I'm a great fan of science, you know.
Really?
Oh, yes.
I...
You seem ill at ease.
Well, no disrespect, but I gathered you were all dead.
Dead? No. We have but slept.
Slept?
Yes, through the economic recession, you see.
What?
Well, 5 million years ago, the galactic economy collapsed, and seeing that custom-built planets is something of a luxury commodity, you see... You know we built planets, do you?
Yes, I sort of gathered.
Fascinating trade. Doing the coastlines was always my favorite. Used to have endless fun doing all the little fiddly bits in fjords. So, anyway, the recession. Yes, we decided to sleep through it.
Sleep through it?
Yes. Our computers were index-linked to the galactic stock market prices, you see, and they were programmed to revive us when everyone had rebuilt the economy enough to afford our rather expensive services again.
Good God, that's a pretty unethical way to behave, isn't it?
Is it? I'm sorry, I'm a bit out of touch. Now, you must come with me. Great things are afoot. You must come now, or you will be late.
Late? What for?
What is your name, human?
Dent, Arthur Dent.
Late, as in the late Dent, Arthur Dent. It's a sort of threat, you see.
Good.
Never been terribly good at them myself, but I'm told they can be terribly effective. Come, we must go. Even now, our race is being revived from its 5 million-year-old slumber.
Excuse me, what is your name, by the way?
My name? My name is Slarty Bartfast.
I beg your pardon?
Slarty Bartfast.
Slarty Bartfast.
I said it wasn't important. Come.
It is an important and popular fact that things are not always what they seem. For instance... On the planet Earth, man had always assumed that he was more intelligent than dolphins because he had achieved so much. The wheel, New York, wars, and so on. But conversely, the dolphins believed themselves to be more intelligent than man for precisely the same reasons. Curiously enough, the dolphins had long known of the impending demolition of the Earth and had made many attempts to alert mankind to the danger. But most of their communications were interpreted as amusing attempts to punch footballs or whistle for titbits. So they eventually gave up and left the Earth by their own means shortly before the Vogons arrived. The last ever dolphin message was misinterpreted as a surprisingly sophisticated attempt to do a double backward somersault through a hoop whilst whistling the Star-Spangled Banner. In fact, the message was this: "So long and thanks for all the fish." In fact, there was only one species on the planet more intelligent than dolphins, and they spent a lot of their time in behavioral research laboratories, running round inside wheels and mazes, conducting frighteningly elegant and subtle experiments on man.
Earthman, we are now deep in the heart of Magnathia. I should warn you that the chamber we are about to be projected into does not literally exist within our planet. It is simply the gateway into a vast tract of hyperspace. It may disturb you.
Oh.
It scares the willies out of me. Here we go. Welcome to our factory floor. This is where we make most of our planet, you see. The planet forges of Magrathea. We have been awakened to perform just one extraordinary commission. There, in the distance before us.
My God, the Earth!
Thank you. What now? Is this? No.